April is Alcohol Responsibility Month. Did you know that? And there has been a new report released by responsibility.org about underage drinking and how parents handle it, among other things. And with us tonight to discuss this issue is Stephen Cass Stevens, the chief of police of Buffalo Grove. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are the former president of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police, and you are currently the vice president of the International Chiefs of Police. So you're very involved in your profession. Tell us about this study that came out and what it shows regarding parents and their kids and alcohol.
Sure. Well, the responsibility.org has a program called Ask, Listen, and Learn. And they recently released a report for Alcohol Responsibility Month. And the report looks at how and when parents talk to their kids about underage drinking. And so the report surveyed 1,000 parents of kids ages 10 to 17. And while it showed that a majority of the parents talk to their kids about alcohol consumption, a lot of them may really be missing one of the most important points to tell their kids why they shouldn't be drinking alcohol. And that important point is the impact on their brains. Because at that age group, their brains are still developing. So our brains, being the most powerful organ in the human body, still developing. Our brain controls what we do, how we learn, decision-making. And exposing the brain to alcohol at those ages can interrupt development and can lead to all sorts of alcohol disorders and cognitive dysfunction and impairments.
Very interesting, because I would assume that what a lot of parents talk to their children about is don't drink because you're going to get in the car, you're going to do something silly, and you're going to break the law, you're going to get pregnant, you're going to do something that you don't want to do. But the parents are just not talking to them about the real impact from a physiological standpoint, which is very interesting.
Very much so. And that can have long-term devastating effects on the brain in the later years.
Is it still the case, is it not, Steve, that children, the biggest substance that is abused by children, the most frequent substance that is abused is alcohol?
It actually is, very
okay.
much so.
And what else did the study say? Did it talk a little bit about whether children are using alcohol more or less frequently than in the past?
Well, actually, that was one of the nice parts that I read about mm-hmm. the study, is it has shown that over the past several years, abuse of alcohol by teens has actually gone down. And that's something that I'm pleased to hear in law enforcement. And a lot of that is because both law enforcement has made a concerted effort to get this message out, and we've made a concerted effort to talk to parents about getting that message out to their kids. Part of the research showed that when conversations between parents and kids about alcohol goes up, underage drinking rates go down. And that's exactly what we're looking for.
That makes sense, right?
It's really that simple.
One of the things, and I'm not sure I'm just going to paraphrase what was in the report, but it talked about how if you ask parents, what is the biggest factor in whether your child will drink while the child is in high school? And the parents largely said, well, teen influence, peer influence is very, very important. But as it turns out, according to the study, what their parents say about it is much more important to the teens than what their peers say and do.
Absolutely.
That surprised me.
Just when you think your kids aren't listening
to you. That's right. That's right.
The report actually showed that almost 70% of the 10 to 18-year-olds say that their parents are the leading influence in their decision about drinking alcohol.
And that just gives the message to everyone out there loud and clear. You have to talk to them about it. And to add to the talk, this detail about the permanent impact alcohol could have on a brain.
And it's, as parents, throughout the years, we have so many difficult conversations with our kids. This is actually a slam dunk. This is a no-brainer. This is an easy conversation to have.
Now, are you a parent?
I am.
Okay. And tell me if you, knowing what you know about this report, being chief of police of Buffalo Grove and being a parent, at what point do you first sit down with your child and what do you say to him?
You can never start at too early an age. A lot of parents think, well, I need to wait. I'll have that conversation when my kids get into high school. It's too late to have that conversation. You need to have that conversation 10, 11, 12 years old. That's when, believe it or not, some of the peer pressure and some of the curiosity about alcohol starts. And so that's really the key ages to start, 10, 11, 12. Have that conversation And don't make the conversation more difficult than it has to be.
Right.
It's really a simple conversation. You need to understand the effects that alcohol have on you. Bad things can happen. It can do bad things to your brain. And I really, as your parent who loves you, I want you to stay away from alcohol.
And again, this is a little bit maybe off your area of expertise. But again, as a parent, your child comes home, and I've got plenty of parents who I represent in family law matters who tell me my child came home and I smelled alcohol, or I found alcohol in the bedroom, or whatever. What do you do when that happens? Again, I suppose there's a conversation that you have, but do you have any tips for parents about how to punish children or to guide them once they've gone there?
Great question. And you're right. It starts with a conversation, and it starts with the sit down, put everything else aside, face to face, look me in the eye. We're having this difficult conversation. When it comes to punishment, as you say, first thing I do is take away their cell phone.
Of course. Of course. That's the worst thing you can do to a kid.
Of course.
I mean, that is the absolute worst. Now, we were like, no television or no chocolate or no whatever. But yeah, though, that is a big punishment.
Oh, absolutely. When I do something bad, my wife takes my cell phone away. It's a very difficult time.
That's very, very, very abusive. But so let's anything else in this report that you think is important for parents to know about the influence they have on their children and drugs, alcohol, and those types of things?
Well, there's a couple of things. You know, we related to this earlier, but when parents talk to their kids about alcohol, typically they talk about things like, oh, you could get in a car crash. If you drank too much, there could be alcohol poisoning. You could be injured. You could fall down the stairs. All sorts of bad things can happen. And those are all true. But again, let's not forget the important one is the effect on the brain. That damage can last for a lifetime.
And interestingly, they were asking parents, like, what do you do to keep your kid healthy? Oh, we give them good food. We make sure they sleep. We make sure they don't smoke. But they largely miss that piece of it, which is interesting that they don't even think of that as being a health factor as opposed to something else.
Right. And we all need to remember that your kids are going to model your behavior. And as much as we try as parents to model good behavior in so many other ways, let's not forget that our kids are going to be watching us, and they're going to watch how we treat alcohol. So that's a message that you can send as well.
Absolutely. Now a little bit off the topic. Steve, you have been a chief of police in Peru and Mendota and Cary, and now you're in Buffalo Grove. And I have to ask you, are there buffalo in Buffalo Grove?
There are no buffalo in Buffalo Grove, and I'm not even sure if there's a grove in Buffalo Grove anymore.
I just had to ask that because I do remember as a kid, I think I remember, unless I'm hallucinating, that memory of driving by somewhere and seeing some buffalo. But I don't know. Well, we'll have to figure that out. So being a chief of police in these different communities, which are very different, Peru is kind of central Illinois, I guess I would call it that, or western Illinois. How does your job vary from community to community?
Well, so I started my career in the military police originally. Then I worked as a police officer from Mendota and a police officer in Peru. And then I was hired in Hoffman Estates, where I worked for their police department for 30 years. I retired there as a deputy police chief. Then I took over a job as police chief in Cary, Illinois, for about 2.5 years before I moved to Buffalo Grove as police chief about 5 years ago. And you're absolutely right. Every one of those communities are completely different. And as a police chief, your job is completely different depending on what community you work for. Peru is a very small community compared to the other communities in our state, as is Mendota. Mendota, I think when I worked there, had 12 to 15 officers. Peru was about 20-some officers. Hoffman Estates, when I worked there, had about 105 sworn officers. So completely different agencies. But as a police chief, your job is completely different, though at the end of the day, you're still responsible for every decision that every one of those officers make.
That's right. That's right. We're going to have to break, but just this is a 10-second question. We have tension between police and certain members of the community. In a very quick answer, what do you think is the solution to curing that problem that we're seeing?
Police-community interaction. It's really that simple. Every single law enforcement officer of every agency needs to spend as much of their duty hours interacting with the residents of their community and developing a great relationship.
Thank you so much for joining us. Steve Castevens, the Chief of Police of Buffalo Grove. Talk to your kids about alcohol.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN.